Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. This is God's Word. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, "Come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us, and we will share a common purse." My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets she cries out. In the gateways of the city she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We've said before that the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. That means that every month you have one chapter a day. It is a wonderful book to read, reread, 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 because as you do, if you ask God to guide you and teach you, you will see things you've never seen before. You'll learn things you didn't know. I can't tell you how many years I have read. I haven't done it every month, every year, but I have many years, many months read a chapter a day from Proverbs, and I still see things that I haven't seen before. And I'm an old guy, so I'm telling you, keep at it and you'll be surprised. As we look at these Proverbs together, ask God, who is the source of all wisdom, to speak to your heart and mind and teach you. First of all, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Solomon was known as the world's wisest man. People came from all around. He was extremely intelligent. He was extremely well-educated. And people recognized his vast knowledge and his vast understanding, and literally traveled just to listen to him teach. Where did he get all that? I mean, his father David had many fine qualities, but he wasn't famous for his wisdom. I'm not saying he wasn't wise. I'm saying that isn't what he was famous for. How did Solomon get this? Well, if we look at Solomon's life, we find that when God appeared to him and spoke to him and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Solomon in humility said, "I've been entrusted with the responsibility of ruling as a king over people that belong to you. The job I'm in is too great for me. What I desire from you, God, is wisdom. God, give me wisdom." And God was so pleased with Solomon's request that he said, "Because you have not asked for riches and long life and the other things that people typically ask for, I'm going to give you what you asked for, which is wisdom, but I'm also going to throw in riches and long life." God blessed him beyond what he asked because he asked for something that was more valuable than gold. So, as we look at this, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, these Proverbs have a purpose, and the purpose is in verse 2, "For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise." In other words, these are here so that those who are wise can become wiser, and those who are not wise can become wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. If you want to have knowledge of the truth, a wise perspective on life, it begins with the fear of the Lord. And God will bless those who tremble at his word. If your response is, "This is the word of God, I need to take this seriously," that's the beginning right there. That's how you get started. That's what puts you on the right road.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org. We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
These proverbs, some of them are prescriptive. That is, they tell us what we need to do. Some of them are descriptive. That is, they tell us how things operate. Some of the things that are in the book of Proverbs are not to tell us how to live. They're to tell us what kind of world we're living in. And so you need to study this book carefully and prayerfully in order to understand what's what. The beginning of knowledge, the place to start, is with the fear of the Lord. Your view of God is going to determine your response to His Word and your understanding of everything else. And one of the tragedies in our culture that has seeped into the church in our land is that people do not worship God, do not revere Him, do not reverence Him, do not tremble at His Word. But God offers us His Word to change our understanding of who He is and who we are and what He's done for us. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. There'll be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Proverbs 1:10. My dad gave me this verse when I was a kid. He had it typed out and he said, carry this with you at all times and let it remind you every time you see it. This is true. And this is my challenge to you. Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. In other words, you and I are going to be confronted by people who will try and get us to do stuff we shouldn't. If sinners entice you, do not give in. Well, this is my son. I'm a girl. Well, you sound like a guy. Okay, well, I chose the wrong voice.
Pastor Wood, this says my son. I'm a girl.
Okay. Make the application. He's talking to his son. He's talking to the future king. But if he was talking to his daughter, he would say, my dear girl, my precious daughter, darling daughter, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. Is that clear? Don't give in. That implies ongoing pressure. Do you remember Joseph, who day after day after day after day faced temptation in Potiphar's house? Oftentimes there will be people who constantly are after us to try and get us to do the wrong thing. Don't give in. Oh, they're wearing me down. Cry out to God. Say, Father, please give me more strength or get me out of this situation. Joseph ended up having to run out of the building. It was the right thing to do. He went to prison, falsely accused. He still did the right thing. Whatever suffering we endure in this life as a result of having done the right thing is so much better than the suffering that people will endure for eternity for having done the wrong thing. Do not give in. Not only that, that's verse 10. But then he describes the bent toward violence. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay some harmless soul. The violence that we have in this world is a manifestation of normal human nature. Well, I think people are basically good. Well, then you are living in a bubble. You need to understand that the world we live in is a world that is filled with violence and cruelty, and that people will kill others or do whatever they think they have to in order to get money. And that's the motive here. It says we're going to kill these people, and as a result, we're going to get riches. We're going to fill our homes with riches. That's the motive. If you value money over people, you will do bad things. And if sinners entice you and try and get you to go along with them and abuse and use others because money is more important than people are, you need to understand you're being drawn towards sin. And those who live that kind of life are storing up destruction for themselves. I love this description. Verse 19, such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. That go after, better translated, those who are greedy for ill-gotten gain. The reason, the word there is batsa. It means to heap up. Means I'm not looking for a loaf of bread so that I have something to eat tonight. I want to collect stuff. I want more, more. Give me more. We live in a land that is filled with greed. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? Do you know why people do stupid stuff? They like it. So I'm not sure that's true. What are the famous last words of a redneck? Hey, y'all, watch this. Right? I mean, we think it's cool. We have television shows about it where people go on TV and do the most outrageous stuff. I'm going to see if I can run the length of this field with an inner tube on fire around me. I mean, what were you thinking? I've never seen anybody do that before. I thought it'd be cool. It's not cool. It's hot. It's melting. You're stupid. This is ridiculous. No one was harmed in the making of this video. Why do people do things like that? They love their foolish ways. How long, oh foolish ones, will you love your foolish ways? Why do you think it's cool to act stupid? Why do you want to wear clothes that mismatch? I think it's the style. For who? Don't do that. Stop it. Don't be foolish. Are we all supposed to look like middle-aged white people? No. No. But don't delight in foolishness. You understand? Aim for wisdom. Receive correction. Live a disciplined life. You can live a disciplined life. Well, I don't like discipline. That's the problem. That's what we're talking about here. We should want to live a disciplined life, to do things in a way that reveals structure, planning. I just want to be spontaneous, okay? Please, wisdom is calling out. Wisdom is saying, I offer my services. I'll teach you. I'll instruct you. I'll guide you. I'll give you what you need to have the kind of life that in the end makes sense. And wisdom says most people don't want that. If you are going with the crowd, you are headed in the wrong direction. Jesus says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel on it. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people find it. Do you really want to be normal?
Pastor Wood, we are sending you this check because we think it is wonderful that you are seeking to give children a normal life.
I am not seeking to give children a normal life.
I do not want you to have a normal life. I do not want you to be like a normal kid in a normal family living a normal life so that you can grow up and be normal. I want you to be normal. I'll be so disappointed in you if you turn out normal. You just want us to be weird? No! I want you to be godly. I want you to be holy. I want you to be wise. That's what I want. I want you to be extraordinary. I want you to be somebody that causes people to say, wow, where did you grow up? Who were your parents? You're amazing. When everybody else is doing this, you're doing this. Why? Why don't you just go along with everybody else and do what everybody else does? Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. So you're trying to earn your way to heaven? No. Jesus died to rescue me. He gave me a brand new life. He forgave all of my sins. He forgave my shame, my past. He took it all away and he gave me a new life. And so the reason I live the way I do now is as a way of saying thank you to him for what he did for me. I'm not trying to earn my salvation. I'm not trying to work my way to heaven. I am on my way to heaven because God rescued me. And so the reason I live this kind of life is because I'm not concerned about the latest fashion. I am concerned about being fashioned into his image. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be willing to lay my life down for others. I want to be willing to give instead of focusing on getting. That's what it's about. Wisdom cries out. But you know what else? This is hard for a lot of people. But it says, verse 25, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. Listen to verse 27, because this describes what will happen to those who hate wisdom. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, there is a growing sense of apprehension in our culture. People are increasingly getting the feeling that something is about to happen. You know why? Something's about to happen. It is. Pastor Wood, do you have a word from the Lord? Well, maybe. That doesn't sound like a word from the Lord. I'll tell you this, I've been studying history. And you know what happens in history? Disasters happen. If you've been living in wisdom, if you've been doing what God says, then no harm will befall you. So you're saying we won't get sick. No, I'm saying sickness and death are not as strong as eternal life. I'm not talking about how to save your life. I'm talking about how to invest your life. I'm telling you that you can live without fear if you know that God is on the throne and that you are his child and you're doing what he told you to do. You don't have to be afraid. Wisdom will mock those who despised her. Disaster awaits those who hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. The complacency of fools will destroy them. But look at Proverbs 1:33. Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. That's what I want for you. I want you to be living without fear, trusting in God, doing what he says.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number,
866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.